This is a violent and often disturbing tale. You have been warned. Ethan Eternal, Chapter 24, The Way, the Truth, and the Light. Out through the fields and the woods, and over the walls I have wended, I have climbed the hills of view, and looked at the world, and descended. I have come by the highway home, and lo, it is ended. The leaves are all dead on the ground, save those that the oak is keeping, to ravel them one by one, and let them go scraping and creeping out over the crusted snow when others are sleeping. And the dead leaves lie huddled and still, no longer blown hither and thither. The last lone aster is gone. The flowers of the witch hazel wither. The heart is still aching to seek, but the feet question whither. Ah, when to the heart of man, was it ever less than a treason to go with the drift of things, to yield with a grace to reason, and bow and accept the end of a love or season? Reluctance by Robert Frost. Crimson stain, dark and bloody thing, red upon white, churning, turning, remnant of life, alive, still, alive, still, alive. Mouth open, a strange sound flowed from the throat of a creature that knew no name. She stumbled back into the larger chamber of the underworld, terrified and confused by the breaking of reality. Everything that had been chosen and decided in the last moments was undone, as though gravity itself had lost its bond upon her heart and sent her drifting into some amorphous nebula of pain and despair. Cindy cowered from the risen man, but truly from the paradox that his life now manifested. He should be dead, and yet he stood, and was now walking in her direction. "It's okay," Jason said as he held out his hands in an attempt to show his sincerity and passive intent. He slowed his pace as he noticed the girl's growing unease, and then stopped as she screamed and backed away quickly. "No, don't go. I'm fine, see?" Energies had fought within her mind, within her soul. Power and strength battled the might of shame and condemnation. Cindy had been damned and consumed by the great beast. She had lost her way, herself. All had been conquered by the madness of absolute certainty in her heart's demise. In a way, she had been made whole by this darkness. But now, even this union of evil was retreating from her, as she retreated from the walking dead. "This is Officer Paul Emery and Officer Lionel Ramirez. They are from out of state," James Welch said with a sly wink. Kevin was loading ammunition into a black duffel bag. He turned his eyes to the two young men and nodded. They were extremely clean-cut and thin. Neither of them looked to be older than 20, yet their eyes held steel. Kevin wasn't sure what to make of that. Emery spoke up first. He held out a lean hand and smiled the way one might expect a federal agent to. It was obvious, even to someone like Kevin, what Welch had implied before.
"Mr. Hill, I'm sorry for your loss. I know it's been hard on you lately, but you have shown incredible resolve, and I truly admire that."
Emery's words came from some robotic place of homogenized training that was foreign to a college professor. Kevin smiled politely and shook his hand. Taking a step towards the two, Ramirez caught Kevin's eye. He was polished like fine brass. His hair was cut perfectly and combed to one side. His jeans and t-shirt seemed inadequate to the job of hiding the black suits and ties that were the regular uniform of this intense individual. Ramirez was not as subdued as Emery had been. To Kevin's surprise, he seemed to actually have a soul.
"Kevin, my name is Lionel. I wish we had more time to get to know one another, but, well, it looks like Dorian has forced our hands. We're both from an agency, Emery and I, federal. And, well, I know this is going to come as little comfort, but we've both been watching you for a while now."
"Both of you?"
Kevin asked with surprise. Ramirez nodded.
"Both of us. And others. I'm sorry to say that I can't really explain more, but you need to know that we would have stopped him if we knew. If we knew what he was planning with them."
"Them?"
Kevin heard himself ask.
"Amanda and Danny."
Both of the young agents paused and stared at the other young man oddly. This may have been because they were still orienting themselves to the reality of being in such proximity to someone that they had been monitoring for months. Or perhaps this reaction was simply in response to the sudden loss of color that had befallen Kevin Hill. Amanda and Danny. Their names had come so easily to this stranger, as though the first time ever uttered aloud, without knowledge or observation of who they had been, or who they had been to Kevin. Ramirez gave no hint that he had any insight into how the mention of their names had shocked this husband and father. Kevin nodded as he tried to breathe. Tact was something Lionel Ramirez would learn eventually. Kevin let it go.
You said you've been watching, you and others.
Emery cleared his throat.
Mr. Hill, we're here to help, but we have our limitations. There are some things that you should not expect an answer to.
A long moment passed before Kevin spoke again. With clear discomfort at this expression of secrecy, Kevin responded.
Everyone has secrets, I suppose. As long as you help me get her out of there, then it doesn't really matter to me. After all, what choice do I have?
Harry Tanner and Zach Young, state troopers, approached slowly. They had been listening in. Tanner was close to 40. Young was, just as his name implied, youthful. Almost too good-looking to be a police officer. For some reason, Kevin thought of Brad Pitt when he saw Zach. He guessed that was something the trooper heard a lot. Kevin decided to keep it to himself. Tanner looked skeptical of the two mysterious agents and turned his attention to Kevin as he neared.
Stay close to us, Kevin. Zach and I have been through some pretty intense shit. These two are probably still sucking on their mama's titties.
Zach smiled at this. Agents Emery and Ramirez did not. The young celebrity lookalike offered no words. He only glanced at Kevin for a moment and then looked away. Trust was going to be an issue with him. That was good. It seemed to be more natural than any of the reactions the others had shown. Kevin met eyes with Young for a brief second and nodded towards him quickly. Silence was just fine. Nothing needed to be said anymore. The time was coming soon to stop talking and finish all of this. The light was minimal in the room, but it was enough so that Cindy could see him. Her eyes were well accustomed to darkness. He pulled down the collar of his shirt where his wound had been made. The clothing was saturated in dark blood, and it was clear where the glass had cut into the fabric. But as he revealed his skin, the wounds could not be found. No opening could be seen, no cut or scrape or scar, as though no damage had ever been done to his neck or chest. Memory flooded the girl's mind. The thing, the girl, and the bear each saw the moment of his death clearly. Each recalled with crystal clarity that she had indeed jumped upon him and savaged the stranger until he no longer lived. And yet, that memory seemed to be false, for here he was alive. The puzzle of this confounded Cindy's entire mind, and each of those in residence there. Nothing seemed to make sense now. Nothing. "It's okay. I'm not hurt. It's okay." Jason took a step towards her and tried to discern the detail of her reaction to him. The illumination was nominal. His eyes did not favor the shadows as well as hers. Only a few beams of golden light broke through from above, and none of them was cooperating. He squinted and struggled to look at her. Though difficult, he could make out some of her features, enough to know that this was a young woman, early teens, and that something traumatic had once happened to her face. It had been given control, total power over Cindy's mind and body, total dominion over all that she was. The thing had battled her oldest friend Bob for all of this and for her very soul. The bear had been defeated, the girl had been imprisoned, and the thing had claimed authority of her world. But it had taken strength from Cindy because of the mortal sin that she had committed against the man that was now raised from the dead. Its power was born from her undoing. The insurmountable force of the beast was beyond Bob's ability to vanquish, even with new strength of his own. Yet this unexpected shift of consequence utterly devoured all of the might and the will that had consumed the fallen child. The thing had lost its grip, its strength, and his courage. Cindy could see inside her thoughts. Bob's soul stood with hers. He had been crushed and returned to the form of the simple toy that had been her comfort all of these long years after the battle with the beast. But the sight of the living stranger had ignited a new spark of life within his imagined heart. Bob had grown once more, multiplied in size and expanded as his confidence in her salvation became clearer. Bob had reclaimed his glory. He was the giant grizzly once again, and faced the shadowy hate within as her protector. Stoic and strong, Bob stood proudly and quietly watched the creature slither out of the fabric of her tissues. The beast folded in upon itself as its dark essence melted into an oily sheen and then dissipated, as though seeping somewhere deep inside. It was a coward, after all. It would not fight without faith in its power. It would hide away somewhere within, preserving itself for a battle to come on a day that better favored absolute victory. Bob wanted to pursue it and destroy the creature forever. He begged Cindy to let him, but she was not strong enough to consider such a thing, and the toll it might take on her weakened faculties. She could try, but fear had returned to her, and she was not sure, even without its full power, if the monster was weak enough to be faced at all. The battle in her mind had taken a heavy toll. She could only watch the evil flee away as she struggled to regain control of her body and her voice.
"Not hurt,"
Cindy heard her voice, her real voice, and knew that control was restored to her. She felt glad for an instant until she noticed the reaction of the stranger to her words. She had forgotten through the struggle to overcome her demon that she was a monster too. Cindy lowered her head in shame. The dog was staring at her. She felt so humiliated at how the thing had used her body and what it had intended to do to this beautiful animal. A tear streamed down her left cheek as she struggled to stay standing. Her thoughts focused on not the new reality of the risen man, but on how she had tried to kill him, and the dread of what might have been if fate had not intervened sooner. To Cindy's surprise, the German shepherd whimpered and stepped towards her eagerly. He had no fear of her, and apparently bore no grudge. The dog approached and then started to lick her hands. She looked down to see this as the numbness in her fingers subsided. With the beast defeated, her senses began to return. Knees buckled, ankles folded. The girl felt herself drop down to the damp floor and into the embrace of a loving friend, a new friend, one that was real. She wasn't sure what to make of that, why something so pretty would show her any affection, especially after what had happened, or why anything could ever love her. The girl took hold of Colt, as though loosing him might cost her all the strength she had left. She held him, succumbed to his affections as he licked her neck and face. She covered her eyes with her right hand and held him with the left as tears came freely and emotions overflowed. Cindy sobbed into the dog's coat as she struggled to understand anything that was happening. Dr. Rodriguez saw this and obliged.
No, I'm not hurt, he said with a calm and soothing tone as he knelt down to his knees. He watched her and the dog for a long moment and then continued.
My name is Jason. I am a doctor, and I'm a friend. The dog's name is Colt. I can see that he likes you. That's good.
Cindy lifted her eyes and stared back with a puzzled expression. Jason continued.
I know that you didn't mean to hurt me. You were just scared. That's okay. I was scared too.
Cindy blinked, but said nothing. Jason understood. He did not want to force her to attempt to speak again. He could hear how difficult that was for her, and saw the toll it took on her spirit to know her own voice. Jason paused and then motioned towards the dog at her side.
His name is Colt. He's a police dog. That man, the man that's hurt, his name is Perry Long. He's a Texas Ranger.
Cindy responded to this with a nod.
Yes,
Rodriguez continued.
Good. And the dog belongs to him. The dog is how I found him. He's a very special friend to Perry. Do you understand?
Cindy glanced to Colt, and then turned her head to see the body of Perry Long resting a few feet away. Her eyes moved back to Jason. Some new strength was coming back to her. She seemed interested and moved by this information, as though growing more confident by the moment in the company of this man. Jason watched with sympathetic angst as the girl once again forced herself to speak. She swallowed deeply as a weak voice emerged.
Help him.
The doctor nodded.
I will. I will help him. But it won't be easy. I'm gonna need your help.
Bob had learned a great deal about himself from the encounter with the evil creature. He knew now that he did not have to be afraid for his friend. Once, he had been the voice of fear and caution. Bob's existence had been manifested to defend the girl from all of her horrible world. Instead of doubt, he offered her different advice than he had ever attempted before. To her surprise, Cindy heard him whisper in her thoughts,
"Let me help too."
Malice seethed from Deborah's stare as the boy looked down at her. Dorian grinned with sardonic pleasure as his new mother fought against the knowledge of her coming fate. She screamed a hateful cry of anguish as the final reality of her sister's fate was sealed forever. The truth could no longer be denied. Reality could not be ignored or distorted. Hope in the salvation of Deborah's lost family was at last laid to rest, but it would not be done so peacefully.
"You motherfucker! I'll kill you! I'll fucking kill you!"
Dorian smiled. He spoke with wide-eyed, sarcastic viciousness.
"You wouldn't kill your own nephew. You wouldn't murder your own flesh."
Deborah could only shout a wordless reply to this as she struggled against her bonds once more, desperately fighting to free just one hand. That would be more than enough to put an end to this abomination before her. Deborah could not truly believe or understand what Kevin had endured until this very moment. He had not told her everything. Had he attempted to explain that his son had been somehow replaced by this impostor, she would not have been able to accept it. There was no way to understand how Danny's mind had been corrupted by this invading entity. No way to know the fullness of what he, in fact, was. That is, until Dorian began to explain what was going to happen to her. Deborah had been moved from the pleasant decor of the study. The gurney was pushed down a long marble hallway and into a freight elevator. She wasn't sure, but it seemed as though they had gone down a floor. As the doors opened, she had been surprised by the brightness of the room that they entered. It was perfectly white. The floors, walls, and ceiling were all completely colorless and completely covered in heavy padding. This was unexpected, confusing. A padded room seemed to be totally out of place here, and yet the butler had brought Deborah into one and now stood beside the stretcher, looking down at her. David's eyes were heavy, tired, as he turned from her and gave his attention to a computer monitor on a nearby wall. Deborah could not make out what was displayed there. Dorian stared at the woman with captivated interest. Her face mesmerized him as though he was indeed a boy, admiring some desired toy through the glass of a storefront window. He watched Deborah as he had watched his hands, smiling with silent urgency. The boy stepped away from the stretcher towards David and motioned for his servant to approach. The butler nodded and began to push a large white apparatus towards the subdued woman. Some strange electronic device had been affixed to a steel frame and set upon 5-inch wheels that allowed for an easy transport. Several thin computer screens were attached to this and rested on a flat metal table along with a keyboard and some odd-looking buttons. As David turned the contraption to face her, Deborah could see two silver cylindrical bars aimed directly at her. Each bar was spaced horizontally from the other at the center of the cart's front. They were aimed at her like the horns of a charging bull. She felt as though she was standing in the way of a coming attack, though she was not entirely sure why yet.
"Calm down, Miss Renard," the boy said with an exasperated voice. "If you fight it, it will only take longer."
Deborah wrinkled her brow.
"What the hell is that?"
Dorian seemed bored by this question.
"I could explain it to you, but it would be a waste of time. Just shut up and relax."
"Fuck you,"
Deborah hissed.
"Okay, fine," Ethan muttered with frustration. "You want to know what this is? I'll tell you. You see, it's very simple. I need a mother. David is very capable, don't get me wrong, but this would be a lot simpler if there was a woman present. I may need a blood relative for this body, for transfusions or medical procedures in the future. I wanted to have his real mother, but, well, that just wasn't in the cards, I suppose."
Deborah could only stare in amazed disbelief.
"I plan on living for a very long time, and your body can help me do that. This is all fascinating to you, I'm sure, but it really has nothing to do with you personally, which is why this is such a waste of my time. Just stay calm, and this will all be over in a minute."
Deborah recoiled as Ethan and David took a step towards her.
"You killed them. You really did kill them both. You took Danny's body and you killed him."
Dorian winked.
"Killed is such a prejudicial term. Don't be so dramatic."
A few seconds passed as she stared deeply into Danny's cold blue eyes and finally accepted that they were no longer his. With a deepening scowl, Deborah responded,
"I'll die before I ever help you."
Dorian paused and glanced to David briefly. He turned his eyes back to the prisoner and lifted one eyebrow.
"No, you won't. But your mind will."
A tremor of dread ran across Deborah as she looked to the solemn glare of the boy that was once Danny Hill. There was no hint of doubt in his words. The two silver rods seemed to hum oddly. Deborah tried to keep her eyes on them, but looking at them was agonizing. A vibration of some sort stung into her vision until the sensation forced her eyes away. She turned to David. He seemed troubled by all of this, but continued to push the equipment in her direction. Ethan noted her terror and spoke once more.
In like a lion, out like a lamb. The suffering is so much greater if you resist. Trust me. Now be a nice little lamb for me, and lie down.
Deborah could not think to answer him. David cleared his throat.
Mr. Dorian, I don't understand why I...
David hesitated as he saw the fluid again in his mind's eye. He saw it as he held the vial in his hand earlier this morning and watched the murky crimson liquid shift unnaturally. He had raised it to gain more detail in the sight of it and wished he had not. For the things he saw had stayed fresh in his thoughts even until this moment. Some tiny strands of flesh, like living hairs, smaller than hairs, in fact, coiled themselves around one another and pulsated like the beating of an exposed heart. They clarified and solidified for only an instant and then faded and vanished back into the undulating serum. It was like some formless living creature. The sight of this had made it nearly impossible to doubt the fullness of who this boy truly was, and made the job of injecting the boy revolting. David's mind had been dwelling on this, and now, knowing the intent behind the use of this perplexing equipment, was driving the butler beyond his ability to sustain reason.
I don't think I can do.
He spoke before he realized what he was saying. Ethan looked to David with an amused grin.
Oh? What? Do what? You don't even know what this thing does, David. Just push it over to her and I'll do the rest.
David reluctantly complied. Ethan met Deborah's terrified stare and said with a calm tenor,
There is no reason to be frightened, Deborah. You're going to see something beautiful, my dear. Something silver and white. A line of perfect illumination stretching across your eyes like a river of light.
He paused as the excitement of the moment overcame him. Shutting his eyes, Ethan felt the warmth of the river sweep over his mind. Even in memory, the power of this sensation was as potent as it had ever been. He smiled to himself. She would bathe with him in the power of the river. She would know the light as he did. It was the closest that Ethan Dorian would ever come to God. He would share this all with his new mother, and together their power would grow. The boy opened his perfect eyes as an intensity returned to them. He cast his stare upon the restrained woman and met her contempt with his conviction.
This will all be over soon.
Carlos sat silently behind a large bush, concealed by its thorny leaves and subtle branches. He lowered a pair of infrared binoculars from his eyes and thought for a moment before picking up his phone. The neighborhood was quiet. Four cars were parked in front of an old and somewhat run-down house on the corner of a city street.
There are 8 of them now,
he muttered lowly into his palm. A familiar voice answered.
George spoke calmly. Wait until they are all outside.
Of course, the waiting killer replied.
Put an end to this now.
Noting the gravity of that order, Carlos said only one more word.
Understood.
The phone was flipped shut and placed carefully down beside him. A large rifle was then lifted as he positioned his eye behind a round telescopic lens, and then he continued on with what he did best. Carlos waited. This has been Ethan Eternal, Chapter 24, The Way, the Truth, and the Light. For more information, please visit onemanasylum.com.